بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مولانا حبيب الرحمن was known as رئيس الأحرار, freedom fighters. Fighting for the freedom of India. So his Islahi Taluk was basically with Maulana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. But there was an arrangement with Hazrat Sheikh and Hazrat Maulana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh that any person that has ta'alluq with me, they will come to see you, and the other way around as well. So Ra'isul Ahrar is coming to Raipur, and he has to come through Saharanpur because that's the center from there you branch off to Raipur, and it is likely that Maulana Raipuri will ask him that you came through Saharanpur, did you go and offer your respects to the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh? So to keep himself covered, he came to Saharanpur, and he says to the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh that what is this whole tasawwuf thing all about? And see, I give you 3-4 days and I will come back through the same way. I've come to Saharanpur, then I will go on to Raipur. From Raipur, I'll come back to Saharanpur and then go home. So I give you this 3-4 days and you give me a proper explanation. And he thought, because this is a very complicated question, so it will require many days to research the whole thing and then come up with a suitable, satisfactory answer. So Mawlana, as Sheikh Rahmatullah told him, you don't need to take the answer on your return, take the answer now. The tasawwuf starts off with ikhlas, innamal a'malu bin niyat, and it ends up with ihsan, an ta'budallaha ka'annaka tara. This Mawlana Habibur Rahman, Ra'isul Ahrar, says, I went up to Raipur thereafter, spent some time, and all the time I began to think, can there be any other explanation? And I came to the conclusion that this is the right explanation and there can't be anything beyond this. Ikhlas, and that ikhlas ends up with ihsan. That ikhlas comes to such a point as though you see Allah Ta'ala. In all that you do, you see the presence and you have the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. So he says, right through, I kept on thinking about it from different dimensions, different perspectives, different angles, but I found that you can't, there's nothing beyond this. It's ikhlas and then it's ihsan. So the ihsan, then there will be different levels of ihsan. In the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, you'll have different levels. Now this whole effort, this whole mehnat that goes around in the Khanqa is to achieve the same thing, the same goal. It is very easily said, right? Person made, he became a doctor or he became a financial consultant, right? So he will tell you the very essence of business is make the maximum money in the minimum time with minimum effort and pain. It's very easily said, but to make that money and to make it in maximum, to make it in minimum time with the minimum pain and effort, that will take your entire life. In words, it's very simple, very, very simple. But the application will take your entire life. So the khulasa, this is the khulasa, this is the essence of tasawwuf, teaches you ikhlas, sincerity. Right? And that sincerity then will be, it will be escalated, it will be refined and refined and refined till it's brought to a very high level. So this is the whole khulasa, the whole essence of ikhlas. Anbiya, when they come to this world, they come amongst the other missions that they have. One is ikhlas, tazkiyah. Right? They have a three-fold effort. One is ta'lim, to educate. One is to pass on the word of Allah Ta'ala, yatlu alayhim ayati, to recite the actual word of Allah Ta'ala as they receive it from Jibreel alayhi salam or directly from Allah Ta'ala, whatever the case may have been, but in the word, in the pronunciation and in the mannerism that they received it, they will pass it on to the rest of the ummah. So one is the word, then one is educating. That's the second responsibility. And the third responsibility is purification, tazkiyah. Now then tazkiyah will be of different levels. One is the basic level, right? Basic level, every Muslim will have it at the basic level, that he will expiate and he will cleanse his soul of shirk, kufr and disbelief. So that's the basic level, primary level, without which you cannot even call yourself a Muslim. So at this level, every Muslim will have it, no matter how weak he may be. But he has the cleanliness of the soul that he doesn't get involved in shirk, kufr, disbelief. Right? Then you have the second level, and the second level is a higher level than the first level. At the second level, apart from cleansing yourself from shirk and kufr and disbelief, etc., etc., now you will cleanse the soul even further. You will cleanse the soul even further. Now this level of cleansing the soul is where you begin to understand now what is desirable and what is undesirable to Allah Ta'ala. Right? You begin to understand what is desirable, what is liked by Allah Ta'ala, and what is disliked by Allah Ta'ala. So you adorn your soul with the liking and the desire of Allah Ta'ala, and you cleanse your soul from the dislikes of Allah Ta'ala. So you adorn and you abandon. Adorn and you abandon. So that is the second level. Then you get the third level, that is the highest level. First level, I explained, is to get iman right and to get yourself rid of kufr, disbelief and all that. Second level, now you understood the desire of Allah Ta'ala and the dislike of Allah Ta'ala. So accordingly you adorned your soul and you abandoned your soul from the dislike of Allah Ta'ala. Now is the third level, and that's the highest level. At the highest level now, what happens at this level, the desire and the love of Allah Ta'ala has permeated the heart so deeply, it's gone so deep into the heart, it's gone so deep, penetrated so deep into the soul, that there is nothing but Allah Ta'ala that's before you. Everything else has sort of disappeared. Hazrat Muwatta Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, when he would read the poetry, he would want it to be read three times. This poetry that is talking about this level, this third level, and that is the highest level. the proximate wordings. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. Pity most of us don't understand Urdu, or if you understand it, then you understand one two words here, there, you don't get the gist of it. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. So the poet is speaking to Allah Ta'ala. He says, now all my temptations, all my desires, all have been crushed, all finished now, all have left me. Whatever aspirations, whatever temptations, whatever desires I had, all the dreams, all have left me. So these dreams, aspirations and desires, all were the impediments on the road. And to get this, it takes your entire life. What dreams a man doesn't have? I will do this, I'll put up a madrasa, I'll do this business and run a supermarket, I'll have 10 children, and one I'll send to make a Maulana, the other one I'll make him a doctor. So, all your dreams. So he says, Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalbat ho gayi. This is at last level. Hazrat Munshi Sahib would say the same thing. Allahu bas baqi hawas. Allahu bas baqi hawas. Now it's very easily said, but to understand the depth of it, really it takes a lifetime. Like I say, you know, what is business? To get the formula is very simple. In one sentence they'll give you the formula. But to apply it, it takes you a lifetime. Now this is not material, this is spiritual. Material still can come to an end, and spiritual path to Allah Ta'ala, there's no end. You keep on latarkabunna tabaqan an tabaq, one level, then the higher level, and it goes on and on and on, no end. So he says what? Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi. Every desire, every temptation, every dream, every aspiration is gone. Now, aspirations and dreams are in accordance to your age, right? Small child, his aspirations and dreams, chocolate, candy, and some games and some children that can amuse him. This is his life. He must have this computer, must have that. So that is his life. And as you grow up, then you want woman, and you want some property and some wealth, right? So that's the aspiration at the second level. Right, but now as you pass that age, 45, 50, 55, then you don't have the strength for all that, and you don't desire so much. Not that you don't desire, but you don't desire like you desired when you were 20 or for woman, whatever. So now that is gone. Then what you desire for? Then you desire for palatial homes, properties, and a very, very, very steady income, a steady flow of income. Carry on multiplying. If it's 1 million, then 1 million a year, now it must turn to 1 million a month. And if it's 1 million a month, then it must turn to 20 million a month. Right? So that is the dream. Al-haqum al-takathur. The rivalry of piling up wealth and children has distracted you. It distracts you. The rivalry of piling wealth and piling children, etc., supporters, in other words, influence. That rivalry, I got so many people, I'm such an influential person. So affluence and influence is a thing that diverts man's attention. I'm such a powerful person, I've got so much of a leadership, so much of a fellowship. Don't you see about this type of thing? Influence and affluence. So this influence and affluence, this is the thing that diverts your attention. It moves you away. On the one hand you say, Allah Pak, I love you. But then you don't want to lose your fellowship, you don't want to lose your wealth. So it's poles apart. You say you love Allah Ta'ala and you want a following, you want a leadership, you want wealth. Poles apart. Two diverse things, two things that are in opposite directions. One sayyah is, you know, these travelers you get. So you have these people all the time, tourists, not travelers. The easier English word is tourists. Now you have group tourists. Before this, to find tourists, Ibn Battuta, whole world, toured the whole world. He's got his own manuscript about his travels, Ibn Battuta's travels. So you had this type of tourists, one person traveling, and he entered one masjid. So he saw something very unique. He saw there were three people in three different corners, and they were all sitting in meditation, deeply in meditation. So he thought, alright, they have taken three corners, let me take the fourth corner. And he took the fourth corner. And soon thereafter, one very, very beautiful woman came in. He says that the beauty was such that I couldn't just turn my sight away from. Now this man is a tourist. Tourists a little bit free, you know, they're not too committed to anything. A little bit free. So he says, I entered the masjid and I saw this woman. It's one of its kind. I couldn't just shift my eyes. My eyes just got glued. I can't just shift. Irresistible. And then this woman had some trays over her head, some platters of food, whatever it was, food and whatever extras that go with the food and meals. Then she went to one person on the one corner and she called to him. That person is not responding. Calling. After a long battle, then he turned and she passed on the food. And as he ate from that food, he threw the bones onto her face. Then she gave him a towel and water and all. He washed, cleaned himself, and turned to that corner again, is in meditation. Now, this thing is adding to his excitement. So this woman, again, she goes to the second person and does the same thing to the second person, the same treatment she received from the second person as well. Then she goes to the third person also gives the same type of treatment. Now, after she's finished with all these three, she comes to this tourist, Sayyah, Mr. Sayyah. And she offers the food to the Sayyah as well, tourist sub. So tourist also eats, and he thought to himself, yaha ka riwaj aisa hai. This is the system here. So when you eat the food, you must take the bones and throw it onto the face. So he did the same, he took the bones and he threw it onto the face of that girl. He says that beauty was something real out of this world. Irresistible. You can't shift. It's not humanly possible to move your gaze away from her. So she slapped him. So told him, see, I am dunya. These people have divorced me three divorces. They divorced me. And you aren't in that category. And the dalil, the proof for that you're not in the category, is from the time I step into this masjid, your eyes are fixed onto me. Can't shift away. You can't turn your eyes away from me. That's the dalil that you haven't divorced me. They have divorced me. They don't know it. They came out to shout them, get them up. And at length, I got them to eat. Right? And you, as soon as I step into the masjid, your eyes are stuck, they are stuck onto me, you can't move your sight away from me. Right. So you haven't divorced me like they have divorced me. You have actually married me. So when I'm in your marriage, you can't do this to me. Right. So this is the dunya. See the dunya. When you talk of dunya, you talk of this type of thing. Anything that will divert you from your original mission, what you came for, where you're coming from, where you're ending, what you came for here. You came for this work here. So So these are the diversions. Al-haakum al-takathur hatta zurtum al-maqabir. These are the things that will divert you. This rivalry to multiply. Everybody says it very comfortably. No, I'm not running. I'm not chasing after the world. It's coming on my plate now, so I have to just service it. But service it like those people that are in meditation. Dunya has to call. And then they answer the dunya, and with scant regard. Not only scant regard, with humiliation. They humiliate the dunya, and the dunya is servicing them. They humiliate the dunya, and the dunya is servicing them. Shaykh Ramadan writes this story, and he said, this is not just a story, it's a truth, it's a fact. When you're going to serve Allah Ta'ala, the dunya will be slave to you, it will be enslaved to you. And you're going to enslave yourself to the dunya, so the dunya will slave you. If you enslave yourself to Allah Ta'ala, the dunya will be enslaved to you. You take, now eat, take. Until you have to give away. You get so much, you know, what must I do with it? What must I do with it? Take. Right. Now that is provided you enslave yourself truly, correctly. Ikhlas, you know, we're coming to ikhlas. So this is the whole essence of the dunya. This is the whole system of the dunya. You enslave yourself to the dunya, then it will enslave you. It will really take that ounce of flesh from your heart. It will make you struggle. It will make you strive. There won't be a point where it won't make you strive. You will struggle. You will run behind. Comes and you run behind. There isn't a point in time where you get out of this chakkar. Repeatedly into this chakkar. See, we don't understand the hidden hand of Allah Ta'ala. One person came here, just want to show you the hand of Allah Ta'ala, right? So he told me, hey, Mora, person is struggling, battling, and he's making some halal income, right? So he says, Mora, you know, I had a very, very bad day, very, very bad day I had. By what happened? No, I had to go and pay my light bill. It comes to about 6,000 rands. He's doing some business, so that business of his takes a lot of electricity. So I had to take that money and go and pay my light bill. So I jumped into the taxi. As I got off the taxi, I found that money was there. I counted it, it's about 2,000 rand short. Now I have to go and pay that light bill. I can't pay that light bill because I don't have the full amount. Now I lost 2,500 rand, about 3,500 I've got left now, and 2,500 has gone. Now I can't go back to the taxi. Taxi is gone. I asked him, "Bhai, just reflect what you've been doing today and yesterday." So he tells me, "Well, yesterday what happened?" He said, "I'm talking of a person that is battling. But it's a true reflection of life. The story is a reflection of life." So, you know, yesterday what happened, as I walked into the house, my mother asked me for 50 rands. And she does all the work in the house. She asked me for 50 rands for some errand of hers. And I blew the top. I brought the whole roof down. I shouted at her. I swore one, two words. And so this is the consequence of what I did the previous day. I couldn't give that 50 rands, my 2,500 rand are gone. He comes to the conclusion himself. 50 rand that she wanted, I brought the whole roof down. I made a noise. Now, in exchange of that 50 rands, the 2,500 rand went disappeared. Do you see? See how it happens? You did this, and this was the consequence. Now you don't see this. You only look at, hey, these Karyas, you know, how they can do this, and you know, you look at this. But what Karya did, you did, what karya deeds you did the previous day, how you saw your mother, and the evil that you did. You don't reflect at that. You don't look at this. You only look at one end of the story. Tasveer ke ek rukh, tasveer ke do rukh hote hai. There is two sides. In fact, there is three sides to a story. When there is a fight, there is three sides. One is the two people that are fighting, their story, right? And one is the truth. That's the three sides of the story. Because both the sides will tell you, no, I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the true story. Other ones also, I'm telling the true story. But the true story lies somewhere else. So this is the picture of dunya, right? What is dunya? Dunya is anything that turns you away from Allah Ta'ala. Kullu ma alhaaka anil mahbub. Kullu ma alhaaka anil mahbub. Turns you away from the beloved. That's the dunya. It turns you away from Allah Ta'ala, and that's your dunya. See? So, when this obstruction is turned away completely, then you'll get ikhlas. And that's what Khaja Sahib is saying. Har tamanna dil se rukhsat ho gayi, ab to aaja, ab to khalwat ho gayi. He says, all my desires, all the dreams, all the fancies, aspirations, all the plans, all gone out. Now there is seclusion in the heart. My heart is secluded. Now you may come, my beloved. Now, O Allah Ta'ala, my beloved, now you may come, because everything has been expelled from the heart. Otherwise, before that, it was a dream. This one year, I need to buy this person, that clothing, and get her married, and his nikah, I need to do it like this, and that type, that girl there, you know, is mocha, that it's an opportunity, I mustn't let that opportunity go. A human mind carries on and on. There isn't a time where that human mind stops. That human mind goes on, it races all the time. So he says, now all these things are gone, everything is gone. Up to aja, up to khalwat ho gayi. Now you may come, O Allah Ta'ala, my beloved. Now there is total seclusion. I am not worried about whatever happens in the world. Now from this point, someone goes or someone comes, I am not bothered about it at all. But I want your true clean love. Absolutely, absolute clean, pure, pristine love I want. Now this takes a lifetime. Don't think it comes, it's on the plate. What do you think of? It's on the plate, I'll get the love of Allah Ta'ala. I do one, two things and I'll get. This loose street woman, if you fall in love, how much they'll make you dance? How much they'll make you dance? Now you must get this, and you must get that, and you must do this, and then I'll see you right. They are a dirty, filthy woman, and they make you do and dance like that. If you want, or you do this, and do this, and do this, and then you must pull out a murk, and that must be on my name, and my granny's name must be on BM, and you have to have the wedding in this style here, and the parachute must just land onto the stage. See? And this type of decor, and this type of dress I need to have, and that type of shoes, then only I'll give myself to you. It's all street, stupid, dirty girls, and they make like that. Yeah. In a few times there'll be history, right? Now they look like a mystery, and in a few years there'll be a history. But you can give yourself so much to them, and here Allah Ta'ala, there is no history and mystery. He's always as you go closer to Him, as you go to Him, the excitement, the joy, the happiness just increases. The more you come closer, the greater the proximity, the greater the love. The greater the proximity, the greater the love, the beauty, the excellence, the splendor, the joy. It just increases with proximity. You get the proximity and there's the splendor, there's the joy. As though you just want now, your soul may just go to Allah. You reach that proximity. And there's no end to that joy, no end to that excitement, no end to that type of splendor. There's absolutely no end. You just want it to continue. You just want it to progress positively, must progress. So in proportion to how much you leave out this, you will gain that. But you want both. Rum Rahmatullah Alayhi says, Hum Khuda Khahi wa Hum Dunya Edu. What? Hum Khuda Khahi wa Hum Dunya Edu. In Khyalist, In Khabast wa Khyalist wa Junu. What? Hum Khuda Khahi wa Hum Dunya Edu. In Khabast wa Khyalist wa Junu. You want Allah Ta'ala and you want this despicable earth also. You want Allah Ta'ala's love. But with Allah Ta'ala's love, you want this despised material as well. Then this is just a dream. It's a thought. In fact, it is stupidity and madness. Can't work together. There's distraction you want, and you want Allah Ta'ala as well. How can it work? How can you marry the both? You want Allah Ta'ala, you say, and you want this. But many people get it wrong. They feel that means you have to throw up everything. You don't throw it up, but don't enslave yourself. Don't throw it up, but don't enslave yourself. You work moderately, little less than moderation, according to how Allah Ta'ala has secured you. Then little less than moderation. If you are starting off, then 8 hours, 8-9 hours. All right, you're starting off still. You got responsibilities. Then you decrease from 8 to 7. As you're progressing in age and reaching near the grave, and the white hair beginning to show, and the weakness beginning to creep, and the family beginning to increase, now from 8 to 6, then to 5. Now, that same time, you're not going to waste that time. Now, you're going to use it for 2 things. What are you going to use it for? For Allah Ta'ala, for His love, for His muhabbat, right? You're going to use it for His muhabbat. You're going to train your children in the same direction. In the direction that you would like to see them, you're going to train them in that direction. You want that additional 3 hours now. Then from 5 hours, then 4 hours, 3 hours, until you become entirely Allah Ta'ala's. But you will train them like this. Train yourself, you will discipline yourself, and you will discipline your children also in the same direction. So it's not that you're going to throw away, you don't want to abandon. But now you've given enough time of your life for that, you've got something steady and all that going on. Now how much more are you going in that direction? So what you have you got the desired amount of yearning and longing to reach Allah Ta'ala? Have you got that amount? Don't you see that you're going out for a holiday, right? You're going out for a holiday to Disneyland, right? And you hear about the sea life, underworld, and what things you hear about. And how excited you become, hey, you're going to Disneyland. What things, such a big place, it'll take us 1 month to cover the whole place, such a beautiful place. So how excited don't you become as the days come? As the days come closer, you want to go more and more. Here, Disneyland is nothing, it's kachra, right? Here, you're going to Jannat. So as you are progressing in life, are you yearning for that? Are you yearning to meet Allah Ta'ala? Are you yearning to leave this world? Are you yearning for the train of life to come onto the station of death? Are you yearning for that? The train of life has to come to the station of death. Are you yearning for that? Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Naseeb Kare.